No, they're actually... This is the beginning of my exit plan, apparently. This is the... starts with no seat. But, all right. So we'll say, we left off Memhei Amud Beis. Memhei Amud Beis. So we left off, actually, the first of the wide lines. So the Gemara says, Yehuda bar Meremar Umar bar Rav Ashi v'Rav Acha midifti karchi rifta bahadi adodi. So Yehuda bar Meremar Umar bar Rav Ashi v'Rav Acha midifti all broke bread with each other. Lo habavahu chad dahava muflog michabri lebruchehu. Now, again, remember, we spoke about at the end of last week, the idea that halacha lemaisa, the person of the greatest stature in the group is the one who leads birkas hamazon. So the Gemara says that in this particular situation, all of them were on equal standing, and therefore, no one was greater than the other to lead benching. So the Gemara says, Hodisnan shlosha sha'achlu ka'achas chayavan lezamin. So when we say, so they understood that when the Mishnah says that three people who eat together, they're obligated to eat b'mezumun, hani mili hecha di'ika adam gadol. That's when there is one who is greater than the rest of the group. Aval hecha dechi hadodininu. But when everyone is of equal standing, chiluk brachos adif. Right? Therefore, again, if everybody's of equal standing, then everybody should just go ahead and bench on their own. So therefore, as a result, Baruch Inish Lenafshei, each of them benched on their own. Asu lekamei d'mereimar, they came before Mereimar, right, their Rebbe, they came before Mereimar. Amar lehu, Mereimar said to them, Yedei bracha yitzasem, Yedei zimun lo yitzasem, you fulfilled your obligation of Birkas Hamazon, but you did not fulfill your obligation of zimun. Obviously, because of the fact that they went ahead and they didn't bench the mezumin, they didn't fulfill the obligation of zimun. V'chim semru, nehadir nezamin, and maybe you'll say, let's go back and form a zimun. Ein zimun l'mafreya. There is no such thing as a retroactive zimun. Once you have lost your mezumin, you've lost your mezumin. So the Gemara says, Ba umetzain kishehin mevarchin, mahu omer acharem. So we'll say, now the Gemara deals with a very interesting case. What happens if halacha lemaisa, so you came and you found people already benching b'mezumen? So what do you go ahead and answer or not answer to that group? So Rav Zavid amar baruchu mevarach. Rav Zavid says, you say baruchu mevarach. Rav Papa amar one amen. Rav Papa says, you just say amen. V'lo pligi, they're not arguing. Hada ashkechin hu, deka amri nevarech. One is talking about a case where the person shows up and finds the mezumen saying nevarech. We'll explain this in just a moment. Hada ashkechin hu, deka amri baruch. And the other case is talking about a situation where they find the group saying baruch. What does that mean? Ashkechinu deka amri nevarech. If you come and you come in the middle of the zimun, is that somebody who didn't eat with the group? You're just showing up and happens to be there in the middle of benching b'mezumin when you show up. So the Gemara says, if you show up to Ka'amri Nevarech, Omer Baruch Umavorach, so if you show up and they're saying Nevarech, you answer Baruch Umavorach, Ashkechim to Ka'amri Baruch, One Amen. So what is this talking about? So the Shulchan Aruch, it's in Kuf Tzadik Ches. Sif Aleph says, fine, listen to this halacha. Shlosha sha'achlu v'heim mevarachim. If three people ate together benching the mezumin, v'nichnas echad shelo ochal. So, and one, another guy walks in, he didn't eat with the group, he's just going ahead and showing up. So that the Shulchan Aruch says, im nichnas kisha'omer ha'mevarach, nevarach sha'achalnu mishalo. If he shows up at the point where the person leading benching says, nevarach sha'achalnu mishalo, one acharav baruch u'mevarach. So you can't answer like the rest of the mezumin because you can only answer the regular answer if you were part of the zimun. But if you walked in, you have to answer something. You can't remain silent as God is being praised. So the answer you give is Baruch Umevorach. Baruch Umevorach Shmo Tamid Li'olam Va'ed. So the entire phrase is Baruch Umevorach. Let him be blessed and be blessed is his name forever for all eternity. V'im nichnas kisha'achirim omrim baruch sha'achalnu mishalo. But if he walks in afterwards, meaning when the other two, at least the other two, are already responding, baruch sha'achalnu mishalo, then all he says is amen. That's the Gemara's talking about over here. So says the Gemara, Tani chada ha'one amen achar birchosav harizem meshubach. So one Mishnah reads that if one who goes ahead and answers amen after his brachos is praiseworthy, one who answers amen after his own bracha. V'tanya idach, another brisa says, harizem meguna. This is considered to be a very negative act. So lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Ha beboni Yerushalayim ha bishar birachos. It depends where. When is answering amen meshubach after your own bracha? That's in bonei Yerushalayim. When is it meguna? When is it considered to be negative? That's with shar brachos. So we'll say, what's the distinction? Bonei Yerushalayim is the end of a unit. So what comes out according to the Gemara is that one is permitted to answer amen to their own bracha when that amen is being recited at the end of a unit, because that amen then is not viewed as answering amen to your own bracha, but rather that amen is viewed as a concluding amen to the unit. So we'll see that biblical Birkas HaMazon ends at the end of Boni Barachim of Yerushalayim, and therefore to show that it ends, we answer amen, just like at the end of Psukei Dezimra, right? Baruch Hashem Le'olim amen v'amen. That idea is we conclude the unit, but to just stam answer amen to your own bracha is considered to be maguna. So the Gemara goes on. Abaye ani lebekola. Abaye used to go ahead and say the amen of Bone Yerushalayim out loud. Ki hechi delishamu poalim, in order that the workers should hear. Velekumu, and they should get up and go to work. Why? The atova hametiv lav doraisa. Because atova hametiv, we'll say atova hametiv is the fourth bracha of Birkas HaMazon, the bracha after Bone Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says it's not doraisa. So what does this mean? So we'll say it's very important to say, if you are working for someone and you're on the clock, then halacha lemaisa, you take as little time for your religious activity as possible. You can't be a chassid. It's a clog of life. Don't be pious on someone else's account. So if you're on the clock and you're working for someone, you are able to discharge your religious obligations, but halacha lemaisa, only the minimum degree possible. So here we have the Gemara says, Abaye used to go ahead and answer amen after Bonei Yerushalayim. He would say the amen very loud. So at this point in time, the workers would realize, okay guys, get back to work. You've said the three biblical chapters or the three biblical paragraphs of Birkas HaMazon. You're not going to say the bracha v'atov v'amitiv, get back to work. Rav Ashi anale b'lechisha. Rav Ashi only said it. What that there? Rav Ashi whispered it. Why? Ki hechi delo nizalzalu b'atov v'amitiv. In order that people should not treat HaTov HaMeitiv in a disparaging fashion. Rav Ashi was concerned that if you'd say the Amen too loud, that it would be like saying, real benching's over. All right, you want a little extra credit? Do the rest. So therefore, Rav Ashi was a little bit more careful to say only the Amen in an undertone. Therefore, people should not treat the fourth bracha of HaTov HaMeitiv in a disparaging fashion. So the Gemara says the following. Top of Membov. Rabbi Zeira Cholosh. Rabbi Zeira went ahead and got sick. What happened? Ol ligabe Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo went to visit him. Now listen to this. Kabil alei, Rabbi Avo took upon himself the following Kabbalah. I mitpach katina charach shaki. Now, you have to understand something. Rabbi Zeira was known as the short man with singed thighs. You see, you might think to yourself, how in the world do you get a nickname like that? Stephen, don't say anything. Right, so Rashi quotes the Gemara in Asochar Sapolim. So the Gemara over here says, Rashi points out, Kacha Yukorn Rabbi Zeira, the time of Mefarish Bevav Messiah. So the Gemara talks about the idea that Rabbi Zeira had a very interesting practice. Rabbi Zeira would go ahead and literally, once every 30 days, go and sit in an oven. To see, he wanted to make sure that he was pious enough that the fires of Gehenna would not have an effect on him. An incredible demonstration of his piety. What are you laughing at? Don't laugh at Rabbi Zeira. It's not going to end well. So Rabbi Zeira would go ahead and sit in the oven every 30 days to see that he was impervious to the fires of Gehenna. So the Gemara discusses that one time when he did this, his legs became singed. Why they became singed was a whole discussion. The Gemara, someone gave him an ayin hara. Not our purpose is for not important for now. But nevertheless, so he was apparently a short man to begin with, and people knew about this episode where his legs got burned from the oven, so they called him the short man with the singed thighs. So Rabbi Avo said that if Rabbi Zeira has a refuah shalema, I will make avidna yoma tava l'rabbanon. I will go ahead and make a yom tov for the rabbis. What that means is, I'll make a sudas hodah. Itzbach. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Zeira was healed. And Rabbi Avo made a suda for all the rabbis. Kimata lemishri. When it came time, Rashi says over here, lemishri kilomar lifros birchas hamotzi. So lishri means to make hamotzi. So when it came time to make hamotzi the suda, Amar lei the Rabbi Zeira lishri lanmar. So Rabbi Avo, who made the suda, Rabbi Avo is the balabas, but he wanted to be mechabed Rabbi Zeira with the zuchus of making the hamotzi. Amar lei Rabbi Zeira responded, lo saber lemar lahod Rabbi Yochanan. Do you not hold the same Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan says the Amar balabayis botzea. Rabbi Zeira said that the balabayis should be the one who makes hamotzi. That the balabayis should not give that cover to someone else. Shorlehu. So therefore, okay. So Rabbi Avo made the hamotzi. Kimata lebruche. When it came time to lead the benching, Amar le nivrach lon mar. So again, Rabbi Yavo, who's the Baal HaBayis, wanted to be Mechabed Rabbi Zeiro, who essentially was the guest of honor. Amar Lei, so he said to him, Lo Sava Lamar Lahad Rav Huna, Dimin Bavel, do you not hold the statement of Rav Huna of Bavel? The Amar Bot Seyam Mivarech. Right? Because Rav Huna held that the one who makes Hamotzi is the one ultimately who leads benching as well. So the Gemara says, Ve'ihu Kiman Svirale. And who did he hold? Like he held the Amar Yochan Rishon Bishem and Yochai, Balabayis Motzea Va'oreach Mivarech. So meaning, what was Rabbi Zera's logic? Excuse me, what was Rabbi Avo's logic? So Rabbi Avo felt like this. Okay, he was willing to go ahead and accept the fact that the Baal HaBayis should be the one who makes the Hamotzi. But he figured even if the Baal HaBayis can make the Hamotzi, the Baal HaBayis is still permitted to give the cover to one of his guests to lead the benching. So Bosei, now the Gemara explains this din. Baal HaBayis Botzea, why is it, and Bosei, this you should know is Halacha L'maisa. Why is it that the Baal HaBayis is the one who makes Hamotzi? So let's say you're having guests, and often people want to be mechabed their guests with things. So often a host would say to his guests, especially if you have a distinguished guest, please, you make Hamotzi. The Halacha is no, the Baal HaBayis always makes Hamotzi. Why? He says, Baal HaBayis Botzea, so we're going to say something very interesting, which is that the Baal HaBayis is always going to make Hamotzi. Why? In order that he's generous with the bread. Meaning, if somebody else gives you the covet of making Hamotzi, so the truth is, you don't know, should I cut the challah pieces thin, right? Should I slice them into quarters, into eighths, into fifths, you know, what do you want me, what should I, it's not my bread, what should I do with it? As opposed to the Baal HaBayis, because he owns the lechem, he has the ability to go ahead and be generous. So Baal HaBayis always makes Hamotzi, v'oreach mivarech. And yet, interestingly enough, here's what's fascinating, as much as Halacha has an insistence of the Baal HaBayis being the making the Hamotzi, the Baal HaBayis need not be the Mavarech, and not only that, maybe it's even better for the Baal HaBayis to give out the covet of leading benching to someone else. Why? Listen to how beautiful this is. V'oreach mivarech, kedei sheyivarech Baal HaBayis. In order that the Oreach, the guest, when he leads benching, has the ability to bless the Baal HaBayis. What's the blessing? My mivarech. Yiratzon, it should be your will, Hashem, shelo yevosh Baal HaBayis ba'olam hazeh. The Baal HaBayis should never be embarrassed in this world. V'lo yikolim li'olam haba, and he should never be humiliated in the world to come. That's one part. Rebbe Mosif, right? Rebbe used to add on other things. Rebbe Mosif, Batvarim, V'yitzlach ma'ol b'chol nechasav, he should be successful in all of his things, in all of his endeavors. V'nechasav v'nechasim mutzlachim, and our endeavors literally means his property, but it's not just property, it's everything he does in life. And everything we do in life should be matzliach, ukrovim la'ir, and he should always be privileged to have his properties, his lands, close to the city. And the Satan should have no hold over his activities or over our activities. And the Satan should not have the ability to place any kind of impure thoughts, negative thoughts, or sin in front of us or in front of the Baal HaBayis from now and from this point forward. So we'll say it's very interesting. It's not exactly clear why it is. If you look in many benchers, either A, this Yiratzon is not there. This Yiratzon is not there. Or like in some of the benchers that have it, they have in there some ad. So the truth is, I'm not clear why exactly that happened. Because this Yiratzon, first of all, it's an incredibly important thing. If you've been hosted at someone's house, it's very important to have that Hakara Satov. The Baal HaBayis shared his property with you, shared his nechasim with you. So why not, if you could give someone a bracha, plus the fact they're a member, it's not just giving the Baal HaBayis a bracha, what's included in here as well, a bracha for the Mevarech. So, and the Shulchan Aruch codifies this, Halacha L'maisa, that when someone else is leaving benching at someone else's home, Halacha L'maisa, one should include this Yiratzon. So therefore the order, and this is very interesting, because Halacha L'maisa, the Baal HaBayis is always one who makes Hamotzi. Kiddush is different. Kiddush, you can give to someone else. If you want to give that to a guest of yours to make, you can do that. But Hamotzi should always remain with the Baal HaBayis, because he can be the most generous with the bread. Birkas HaMazon, Baal HaBayis can do it himself. But better to give it to someone else, so the Baal HaBayis ends up getting the beautiful bracha. Ad Heichon Birkas HaZimun. So I'll say it's very interesting. So now, the Gemara asks the following question. We're in the midst of the topic of Mezumin. How far does the what is part of the Birkas HaZimun? Now, this question sounds a little bit strange for us, because we often think, you know, when learning these sugyas, you have to go back and pretend like you don't know anything about the particular subject. So we when we think of the Mezumin is the introductory lines, the responsive lines that we read prior to beginning Birkas HaMazon. But the Gemara actually entertains the idea that maybe some part of benching is actually part of the Zimun as well. Meaning, where does the Zimun, is the Zimun just the introductory phrases, or does the Zimun actually include perhaps the first paragraph of benching? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, which parts of benching do you say if you're not benching bimizumun? So the Gemara says, Ad heichan birkas hazimun. Rav Nachman amar ad nevarich. So Rav Nachman says, ad nevarich means what, Rav Osai? Until the end of those, just those introductory responsive phrases that we say before formal birkas hamazon begins. Rav Sheshes amar ad hazan. Rav Sheshes is of the opinion, Rav Osai, that the bracha of the zimun actually includes what? Even the first bracha of benching. Until azon asakol. That's all part of mizumin. So the Gemara says, name it kitanoi. Let's say this in Machlokes Tanoim. The Tani Chada, one opinion says, Birkas Hamazon Shnai Mushlosha. Sometimes benching is two brachos, sometimes benching is three brachos. The Tanya Idach, another price that says, Shlosha Va'arba. Sometimes benching is three, sometimes benching is four. So the Gemara says, Sabruha, the Chuli Ama Atova Meitav Lav Doraisihi. So let's presuppose for a moment that everyone agrees that Atova Hameitiv is not biblical. So we're taking Hatova Ameitiv off the table over here. So what we're talking about are the biblically mandated chapter or paragraphs of Birkas Hamazon. So the Gemara says, my love, Bahakam and Fligi, are they not arguing about the following point? Man, Damer, Shtaim, Ushlosha. So the opinion holds that sometimes Birkas Hamazon is two and sometimes it's three. Kasavar Ad Hazan. He says that what? What does the Birkas Hazimun include? It includes what, Rabbi Osai? Even the first paragraph of benching. So what does that mean? Sometimes Birkas Hamazon is three chapters. When is that? When you have Mizumin. And sometimes Birkas Hamazon is only two chapters. When is that? When you don't have Mizumin, you're benching by yourself. And the opinion holds that sometimes benching is two, sometimes benching is four. Kasavar ad nevarich holds that what? The Zimun only includes the introductory phrases before formal Birkas Hamazon. And therefore what? Sometimes Birkas Hamazon is three brachos. When is that? When you're benching by yourself, then it's just the first three paragraphs of Birkas Hamazon. And sometimes it's four, and when is that? When you're benching b'mezumen, and you add on the introductory phrases, or the introductory brachos, to Birkas Hamazon. So which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Rav Nachman metaritz the ta'amei, but Rav Sheshes metaritz the ta'amei. So remember, Rav Nachman was the one who said that the Zimun is only until Nevarich, and Rav Sheshes is the one who said that the Zimun is until Azon, and they both could suggest that all of the Braisas could reflect their opinions. How so? Rav Nachman mitaris l'tamei. Rav Nachman answers in accordance with his reasoning. D'chuli ama ad nevarich. Everyone agrees that the Zimun. David, if you want, you can sit down. You're okay. So Rav Nachman says that you can go ahead and what? Rav Nachman says that everyone agrees that the Zimun only goes until Nevarich, that the Zimun only includes the opening phrases. So according to the Brisa that says sometimes benching is three, sometimes benching is four, so that makes sense. That makes sense. Benching is three brachos when you're benching by yourself, and it's four brachos because you have the supplemental introductory brachos when you bench with a mezumin. What are they talking about? Oh, listen to this. Oh, what is he talking about? Those prices are referring to the working man's benching. What's the working man's benching? Now, we don't pass any of this, Rabbosai. But the Amar Mar, Poseach Bahazon, the Kolel Bone Yerushalayim Birkas Ha'aretz. Interestingly enough, Rabbosai, there is an opinion that holds that for the working man's Birkas Hamazon, he says the first paragraph, right, Hazon HaSakol, and then the bracha of Nodeh Lecha and Rachim are combined into one paragraph. So according to that approach, then, Rav Nachman would say like this, that when the two brisos said that sometimes benching is two, sometimes benching is three, that's referring to the working man's benching. If the working man has what? Has a zimun, then he'll have how many brachos? Three, right? The introductory lines for zimun, bracha number one, and then bracha two, which is a combination of brachos two and three. And sometimes he has three brachos. That was three. And sometimes he'll only have two brachos, which is when he's benching by himself, no zimun, he'll have bracha number one, azan asakol, and brachos two and three, which are combined into one paragraph. Rav Sheshes Mataris Etame, and Rav Sheshes goes according to his reason. He also says all this could reflect my opinion. Remember, Rav Sheshes was the one who said that the zimun goes all the way through the first paragraph until azan asakol. D'chuli ama ad hazan. Everyone agrees that the zimun goes until the end of the first paragraph, azan asakol. Man damer shtai mushalosh shapir. So the one who holds that some the brisa that says that sometimes benching is two brachos, sometimes benching is three brachos, that actually makes perfect sense. Why? Because again, sometimes benching is three brachos. Rabbi say, when is that? When you do it by yourself, right? Then you'll say the full. Right, thank you. Right, correct. Versus two when it'll be by the mezumin, correct. Uman damer sholosh va'arba kasavra, thank you. Uman damer sholosh va'arba, and the one who holds that it's three or four, kasavra hatov v'hamitiv da'oraisi. Also, Bosai, so the Gemara says like this. The one who says that it's either three or four, there's an easier way to reconcile this, which is what? He holds that hatov v'hamitiv is da'oraisa. Right, so if hatov v'hamitiv is da'oraisa, then what? Then when halacha l'maisa, you're benching b'mizumun, so then halacha l'maisa, you have four brachos, including atov ha-meitiv, versus when you're benching by yourself, you only have three, because you don't have the mizumun. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef teda, da atov ha-meitiv lav d'oraisa. So Rav Yosef says, the truth is, atov ha-meitiv is not d'oraisa. We have to take that off the table. No one says atov ha-meitiv is d'oraisa. It's for the simple reason, shari polim okrim osa. Because workers don't say it. And mostly that goes back to the last line on Mem Hei Amud Beis, which was, if it was really D'oraisa, so then workers should have to say it. They're both like, going back to the same idea that we said before, that remember, just like workers don't necessarily have to say Shemona Esrei, right? We saw this earlier. But workers definitely have to say Shema, because it's D'oraisa. So therefore, again, the fact that workers don't say it is indicative of the fact that fourth bracha Tov HaMeitiv is D'rabbanon. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Mishmei D'Rav Teda, Datov v'hametiv lav da'oraisa. So the name of Rav, they say there's another reason you can say datov v'hametiv is not da'oraisa. Why? Shari poseach ba bebaruch vein chosim ba bebaruch. Because interestingly enough, hatov v'hametiv opens with baruch, right? The fourth bracha of Birkas Mitzvah begins with baruch, but it doesn't end with baruch. Remember, how does it end? Umikol tuv al yechasreinu, right? So it just ends. So what? How does that prove that it's not da'oraisa? Listen to this. Kidesanyo. Normally, all brachos begin with baruch and end with baruch. Except what? Except the ones that don't, right? Ikschutz, ibirkas haperos, ubirkas hamitzos, ubrachas muchalachaberta. So the Gemara says like this. The truth is, halacha often does this. That we have a rule, and that rule is true, unless, of course, there are other rules that say that a different rule applies. So the general framework with brachos is a bracha should begin with baruch and end with baruch, which makes sense. You begin with baruch because that's the way brachos are formulated, and you end with baruch because that's the best way to summarize the theme of the bracha. With the exception, says the Gemara, of birchas haperos, brachos on fruit, birchas hamitzvos, brachos on mitzvos. Now, I will say, those brachos don't get a bracha at the end for one simple reason. That's what? They're short. They're one-liners. So therefore, I don't need another bracha at the end to summarize the motif or the theme of the bracha. It's obvious. I just said it. And furthermore, brachas mucha lechaverta. Brachas mucha lechaverta means what Rabbi said, that if you have a bracha that is juxtaposed, said on the heels of another bracha, you don't have to open the second bracha with baruch, because it piggybacks on the baruch of the previous bracha. Alright? I'm sorry? Brachas haTorah. Elokai neshama. Elokai neshama doesn't open with a bracha, because it's a brachas mucha lechaverta. I'm sorry? Tfilas Haderach, we try to make a bright. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should make, let's say, a shahakol before Tfilas Haderach in order to make it a bracha smucha lechaverta. Einachinami. All right, so the Gemara is like this. Ubracha achrona shebekriya shma. And the last bracha in shma, MSV Yatzev or MSV Amuna. Yeshmen, so there are other Yeshmen sheposeach ben baruch, then chosim baruch. There are some brachos that begin with baruch and don't end with baruch. The yeish mehem amud beis. The yeish mehem shechosim baruch vein poseach baruch. And there are those that end with baruch and don't open with baruch. Vahatov vahamitiv. Vahatov vahamitiv. Poseach baruch vein chosim baruch. But atov vahamitiv opens with a bracha and doesn't end with a bracha. Michlal de bracha bifnei atzma. Which would seem to indicate that what? That it's its own independent bracha. So we'll say, why? Because listen to this. Should Atov v'hametiv open with Baruch Atah Hashem? No. Why? Good. Why? Because it comes on the heels of Bonei Beracham of Yerushalayim. It's a bracha hasmucha lechaverta. So if it was really part of Birkas Hamazon, so you would not have to begin with another Baruch Atah Hashem, because bracha hasmucha lechaverta. The fact that the way Chazal instituted is that you begin with another Baruch Atah, is Chazal making a dramatic statement that what? This is not like the rest. The rest was the Oraisa. This is the Rabbanan. V'amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Teda that Atova Hametiv lav Doraisa. So Nacham Yitzchak says, I'm going to give you another Mefurish Araya, that Atova Hametiv is not Doraisa. Shahari Okrin Osa Bebeis HaAvel. Because they don't say it in a Beis HaAvel. They don't say it in a Beis HaAvel. So the Gemara says, Kidisanya, because after all we learned, Ma Heim Omrim Bebeis HaAvel. What do they say in a Beis HaAvel? Baruch HaTova Hametiv. So the Gemara first gives a strange answer. So the Gemara says, oh, the bracha we say is Baruch HaTov V'Hametiv. Look at Rashi. Well, actually, fine, we're not going to Rashi. Rabbi Kiva, or Rabbi Kiva says, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Rabbi Kiva says, in a Beis HaAvel for benching, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. So the Gemara says, HaTov V'Hametiv in Dayan HaEmes, lo. Is that to say that we, according to the first opinion, HaTov V'Hametiv, yes, but Dayan HaEmes, no? Ela Ema, Af HaTov V'Hametiv. So the Gemara says, no. What's the difference in a Beis HaAvel? Most of we don't pass in this way. Let me just give you a little bit of background in this. The Gemara Masech has Moed Kot. Nemir Tashem, we'll see it. No, not even a few years. It's Moed. We'll see it in a year and a half. Nemir Tashem, Shatov Mitzlachos. We'll be in an expanded base mentorship by then. Nemir Tashem. All right. Okay, good. So the Gemara says like this. So remember, the Gemara Masech has Moed Kot brings down that in a base Ovel, they had a dramatically different Birkas HaMazon. They began Birkas HaMazon differently. There were certain additions of bracha, and specifically, the greatest changes were in the fourth bracha of Atova Hametiv. So even though we don't paskin this way, right? So they would go ahead and they would not say that, because remember, Atova Hametiv, of course, is interesting. They would add in the bracha of Atova Hametiv. They add in the bracha of Dayan HaEmes. We don't do these variations in Birkas HaMazon. But for our purposes, the reason why it's important is the very fact that bracha is, what's the right word? Adaptable, thank you. The fact that that bracha is adaptable clearly tells us what? That it's dirabanan. Right? Because doraisa brachos, you generally can't adapt. So the fact that you could go ahead and change it to fit the circumstance, the Gemara wants to suggest, is the greatest raya that it's dirabanan. Or Marzutra, ikla lebe Ravashi. Marzutra went to the house of Ravashi. Isra be milsa. And Isra be milsa literally means something happened to him, which means that he experienced a loss. Meaning that Marzutra became an Ovel. Pasach u Baruch, Hatov v'Hametiv, Kel Emes, Dayon Emes. Shofet b'tzedek, Lokeach b'mishpah, let's go back. So the point of the Gemara is saying is that Marzutra experienced a loss, and when he got to the fourth bracha, he adapted the bracha to now reflect his mournful circumstances. So he began by saying Hatov HaMetiv. So first of all, just an amazing idea that's the first thing that's said in the bracha. Hatov HaMetiv. Despite the fact that a person is in Avelus, a person recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good and the bestower of good. Kael Emes, truthful God. Dayan Emes, truthful judge. Shofet B'tzedek, judges with justice. Lokeach B'mishpat, takes with justice. B'shalit Ba'olamo, has total shlit, the dominion over his world. La'asos Bo'kirtzono, to do whatever he wants. Kikol D'rachav Mishpat, all of his ways are Mishpat. Sha'kol Shalo, everything is his. Va'anachnu Amo, we are his nation. Va'avadov, and his servants. U'bakol, al'bechol, u'bakol, anachnu chayavim l'holdoslo. And in all of our circumstances, we are obligated to give praise to him, ulevarchu, and to bless him. Go there, pirtos b'Yisrael, he who breaches the breaches of the Jewish people, who yigdar es ha-pirtza hazos. May he go ahead and seal up this particular breach, b'Yisrael, within the Jewish people, l'chaim, for life. So this was the bracha that Marzutra said when, again, he became an Ovel, and this way he adapted the fourth bracha to mirror his circumstances. So the Gemara stops over here. Now, halacha lemaisa, we too paskin that Hatov HaMetiv is a dirabanan. Right? We too paskin that Hatov HaMetiv is a dirabanan. It doesn't really change anything in our greater recitation of Birkas HaMazon, except, I guess, technically speaking, if a person was a poel and only had a limited amount of time for Birkas HaMazon, so really once he got to Uvnei Yerushalayim and he finished the first three paragraphs of Birkas HaMazon, technically speaking, he'd be able to stop there. Halacha lemaisa, we don't really treat them any differently. We also don't change the text of Hatov HaMetiv even in a Beis Avel. So now the Gemara says the following. Bless you. Leheichanu chozer. Bless you. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, where does he go back to? Both is a great shaila. So let's go back for a little bit. So remember our case? Remember our case where you had three people benching together? So let's do a little bit of daf yomi pop quiz. So three people benching together. Two want to bench and leave, and one's still leaving. So what's the halacha? right? You stop, right? Remember the reverse. What happens if one wants the bench, two don't want to?
He's stuck.
Right? He's stuck. He's got to wait it out. So now let's play this out. So two wanted the bench, one did not. So what's the protocol? We saw it. So the one stops his eating. The one stops his eating, answers to the Zimun, listens attentively through the recitation of the first bracha. Okay? Good. And then what? Goes back and eats. So the Gemara has an interesting shayla. Lehechan hu chozer. So now let's call him Ruvain. Ruvain now goes back, and Ruvain wants to go ahead, and now Ruvain's finished eating. Finally finished eating. He wants the bench. So what's the shayla? Where does he pick up from? Right? Remember, not only did he answer the Zimun, but he also listened attentively where? Right? Until the end of the first bracha. So the shayla now is when he goes back and benches, where does he go back to? Take a look at Rashi Rabosai. Lehechan hu chozer. Mishin etzah. Well, let's dig in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Lehechan hu chozer. Rav Zavid nishmei da'abayis. Rav Zavid da'abayis says, Omer chozer l'rosh. You have to go back to the beginning. Rashi says, L'tchilas hazon sharines chayiv bezimun shebetchilo hokva begimol. You have to go back all the way to the beginning. The Rabbanon said, L'makom shepasak. Interestingly enough, the Rabbanon said that you could go back to where? The place where you left off. Where did you leave off? Look at Rashi. L'makom shepasak. L'birkas ha'oretz kishar yochid. So interestingly enough, according to the Rabbanon, you could actually start where? By no delecha. Because technically speaking, you kind of said that bracha together with your zimun. The hilchasan, the halacha is lemakom shepasak. Correct. That's actually goes on to say that it only refers to one. So thank you. So the Gemara says like this: V'hilchos alamakom shepasak, and the halacha is that you go back to the place where you stopped. Now, what that seems to indicate to us is the halacha is you pick up with no delecha. The Rabbi said we don't paskin that way. And the truth is, like Stephen just said, for the simple reason, the way Rashi and Tosas understand this is this particular approach of the Rabbanim that says that you are. Right. So this particular idea that says that you go ahead and this particular idea that says that you go ahead and thank you starts with Noda is reflective of the idea that first paragraph of benching is all part of the bracha of Zim. There's a lot going on this morning. All part of the bracha of Zimun. So, however, if we accept the fact, which we do, that the first bracha is not part of the bracha of Zimun, but the Zimun really is limited to the introductory phrases, then the truth is our halacha l'maisa comes out a little bit different, which is that the third guy who now goes ahead and benches afterwards, right, now goes ahead and what? Starts really from the beginning of Birkas HaMazon. Amar le Reish Kalusa l'Rav Sheshes. So the Reish Kalusa said to Rav Sheshes the following idea. Af agav dirabanan keshishi, even though the rabbis are elders and very smart, right? Even though the rabbis are elders, right? Which means even though the rabbis think they're very smart, parsoi bitzarchi su'uda biki minaychu. The Persians have even better meal etiquette than you do. Why? Bizman shehin shtei mitos, when there are two people sitting and reclining in a meal, right? There are two beds. Godol mesav birosh. So what happens? The greatest person at the Su'uda sits at the head. V'sheni lo lemala heimenu. And the other person sits above him. Now, both said, what does that mean? So remember, if you have the image of a person essentially reclining on a couch. Now, remember, when they were reclining, it's not like what we do by the Seder. They had their feet up also. So what it means is, what the Persians would do is they'd have the great person here. And then, if there was another person who joined him, he would be literally on top. Which means that he would be, if you can imagine, the secondary guy's feet would be at the greater person's head, right? So they would put him. So it means above him, right? Above him. Ubizman shein shalosh. And if there are three people eating together, godol mesav beemtza, they would put the great person in the middle. The great person in the middle. Sheni lo lemalo, the second person above him, which means again, the second person then would be, suppose I, maybe it's just easier to illustrate it like this. If you were looking at them, so the middle person would be in the middle, the secondary person would be to the right, and then the third person of least importance would be to the left. So the Gemara says, Ubizman shei shalosh, fine. So the Gemara says, Amar le, v'chi bayi yishtuye bahadei, matritz teruse v'yasiv u'mishtai b'hadei. So it comes along, so Rav Sheshet says Reish Kalusa, that's a great idea except for one problem. Let's say in the case where, let's say the great person who's sitting in the middle, or whatever, sitting below, wants to go ahead and speak with the guy of secondary greatness. So what does he have to do? He then has to lift himself up, turn his head, because remember, he can't just lean his head over and talk, because he'll be talking to the guy's feet. So in order to go ahead and speak to the guy, he's got to lift up, he's got to turn around. So what kind of setup is that? Amar Lei, so Reish Kalusa said, no, Shiny Parsi, the machvi le b'machug. They signal to each other. So apparently they're able to converse, and also Persians were very serious eaters. We saw this before earlier in our argument, they were very serious about the Suda. So it even appears that they probably didn't converse all that much during the course of the meal. And whatever had to be said was said through a hand signal. I don't know what kind of hand signals. But right, so they right, more like this, that, whatever it was. So therefore they, right, I'm sorry?
You could have said that they could have just started speaking, they need to turn around. They could have signaled to get the attention.
No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying they're communicating through hand signals. They're communicating through hand signals. All right, whatever it is. So interestingly enough, so now Rav Sheshet is talking about this with the Reish Kalusa. So he says, and who did they go ahead? Right, who did they go ahead and start with by Mayim Mishonim, right? Who got to wash their hands first for the Suda? Now, both sides, the Persians obviously are not necessarily going ahead and they're not washing the Tehillas HaMelech. We wash the Tehillas HaDayim, but everybody was washing their hands before a meal just because of cleanliness. So who did the Persians start with for the Tehillas HaDayim? Meichen Maschilin, Amar Lei, Minagodol. Sort of the Reish Kalusa responded, oh, they start from the greatest person. So Rav Sheshet said, does that mean Yeshev Gadol v'Yishmar Yadav Ashenot l'Kulan? Is that to say then what? That the greatest person goes out and sits there until everyone else washes? So now what does that mean? So now, right, so now you, let's say you have a Suda full of people. So now the great person is going to sit there until everybody else washes their hands. That's not a covet for the great person, to wait there all the time without eating. Armlei, the Reish Kalusa said, don't worry. La'alter Maisi Tachal Kameh. They bring out his table immediately. Meaning, essentially, after the greatest person at the meal washes, they bring out his table immediately, and he eats immediately. There's no need to wait. Okay? Mayim Achronim Heichon Maschilin. Where do they start Mayim Achronim from? Right? Where do they start Mayim Achronim from? Amar Lei Min HaKoton. Min HaKoton. They start Mayim Achronim. Again, I will say, the Persians aren't doing the Mayim Achronim. Everybody's, remember, the original institution of Mayim Achronim was really just a din of cleanliness, right? There was Melech Stomas, there was salt issues, but also a cleanliness issue. So the Persians doing Mayim Achronim also. So not just the Hasidish Persians, right? All the Persians were doing it. So the Gemara says, so where did they start? Where did they start Mayim Achronim from? So the Gemara says, HaKotan. So Rav Sheshet says, they started from the least important person at the Suda. The Gadol Yosef Yada Mizuhamos Achenotlen Kulon. Is that to say then that the great person at the meal is going to sit there with dirty hands until everyone else washes? Amar Lei, the Reish Kalusa responded, Lo Masalki Tacha Mikamei Ad Dinimate Mayi Legabei. No. They allow the great person to continue to eat until they bring him a Mayim Achronim. Chasham, they don't remove the table from him. He could eat, right? He could eat until he's ready for Mayim Achronim. Amar Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet said, listen, whatever the Persians do, but ana masnisa yidana. Here's what I know. I know a brisa actually that teaches us proper meal etiquette. Tisanyo, keitzad seder haseba. What is the order of haseba? Right? What is the order? When it says what is the order of haseba means how do we seat people at a meal? Bizman shein shtei mitos, when there are two people, gadol mesav berosh, vishini lo lemata himeno. So when we seat people, so two people, let's say one of greater and one of lesser importance, we seat the person of lesser importance where? At the feet of the person of greater importance. Why? What's the logic behind that? Because this way, if the person of greater importance wants to converse with the other person, what does he need to do? He just simply needs to tilt his head a little bit forward, or maybe he doesn't need to do anything because his head is already tilted. Right? There's no need for him to dislodge or move himself in order to go ahead and talk. However, what happens? Bizmanchein shalosh mitos. What happens if you have three people? Then godol mesav berosh. Then ultimately, the great person sits at the head. We'll see what this means. Sheni lo lemala himenu. Then there are the second, meaning, suppose if you have three people of differing levels of importance. So I'll call it person number one is in the middle. Person number two is lemala. So meaning his feet will be at the head of the great person. And person number three will be at the feet of the great person. Now the logic behind that seems to be is at the end of the day, the great person at the Suda, the Godel Shebisuda, is going to have to move himself to speak to someone. We'd rather have him move himself to speak to guy number two than to speak to guy number three. So he put guy number three at his feet, and therefore all he needs to do is simply talk. And if he wants to speak to guy number two, in a chinam, he's going to have to move himself around to be able to converse. Mayim Rishonim. Where do we who gets the schus of beginning Mayim Rishonim? So Mayim Rishonim maschilin min hagodol. He's the one who gets to wash. The gadol gets to wash first. Mayim Achronim. So listen, this is very interesting. So what happens? So here's what's interesting about Mayim Rishonim. Also, even though Rashi points out over here maschilin min hagodol, Rashi says ula alter ma'ay letocha kameh. This we go like the Persians also, that when we let the great person wash first, we bring out his table immediately. So obviously it's a little bit different today, because halacha lemaaseh were all eating at one table, but at least times of the Gemara already, again, they would let the gadol wash, bring out his food immediately. May machronim. What about may machronim? Bisman shehem hay. So listen to this. When there are five or less people, maschilin min hagadol. So then we begin from the greatest person there. Because if there are five or less people, that's a small group. Everybody's going to wash relatively quickly. So we allow the greatest person in the group to wash Mayim Achronim first. Ubizman Shehin Meya, if there are 100 people, and I'm about to say 100 is not necessarily specific. 100 just means a lot more than five. Right? If there's a much larger group, then what? Maschilin Min HaKatan, we begin washing Mayim Achronim from the least important person there. Until you get to the five most important people at the Seuda, your last five. V'chozin, at that point in time, v'chozin umaschilin min hagadol. And at that point in time, what do? When you get to your last five, you then go back to the previous statement, which was, you give it to the greatest of the last five and begin from there. So again, the protocol is, if you're five or less, begin with the greatest and go down. If you have much more than five larger group, begin with the katan. When you get to the last one of the five, go to the gadol shebisuda, let him wash, and then everyone else after him. Ulamakum shemayim achronim chozim l'sham, bracha chozeres. And to the place where Mayim Achronim ultimately comes back to, that's the person who leads benching, which means that either way, whether you are the person who washes first in the case of the five, or you are the person who is the first of the five to get it after everyone else washed, you are the person who leads Birkas HaMazon. Or another way of saying, the Gadol Shebisuda, the greatest person at the Suda, is the one ultimately who will lead Birkas HaMazon as well. Misayeli l'rav, the Amrav Chia Barav Ashi Amrav, Kol Hanotel Yodav Ba'achrona Tchila, whoever washes Mayim Achronim first, who Mizuman L'bracha. That is the person who is designated to lead Birkas HaMazon. So also now the Gemara actually tells a story that we actually saw earlier. Rav and Rav Chia, Havu Yasi B'Seuda Sakamei D'Rebi. Rav and Rav Chia were sitting in a Seuda before Rebbe. Omer Le Rebbe L'Rav, Rebbe said to Rav, Kum Mashi Yadech, get up and wash your hands. Chazya D'Kamerasach. So Rav Chia saw that Rav was upset. Now, mirasach usually means anger, like seething, but could also just mean hurt or embarrassed. So what happened? Rav Chia saw that Rav was embarrassed. Remember the story. Why did he think that Rav was... Because Rav didn't know why Rebbe was telling him to get up and wash. And Rav thought that there were two possibilities here. Rebbe's either telling me to get up and wash for one of his reasons. Either because I'm drained, right? I'm taking too long in eating. So he's telling me, come on, finish up. Stop eating, finish up. Or he's telling me, you're pashut a slob, right? Look at your hands. Go clean yourself up. How can you act like... See, either way, the point is Rav was very embarrassed. So what happened? So Amrle Barpachsi. So Rav Chia sought to intervene in the situation over here and to prevent Rav from getting upset. Barpachsi means son of nobleman. Right? Son of nobleman. Ayin bebirkas mezona ka'amr lachach. Don't worry. Rebbe is not telling you anything. Rebbe is not making a disparaging statement. What Rebbe is telling you is, literally translated, is go and study your Birkas HaMazon. Because Rav Osai, essentially what Rav Chia was saying to Rav was that Rebbe's asking you to lead benching. So how is he asking you to lead benching? By telling you to go ahead and do Mayim Achronim first, he's designating you for benching. So why is he giving you this advance notice? Because remember, Birkas HaMazon was recited by heart. Also remember in the classic case of Zimun, the mezamim, the person leading benching, was reciting it on behalf of everyone else. So Rav, don't get upset. Rebbe's just telling you, go look over your benching a little bit, because you're going to be leading us in a couple of moments, and prepare yourself. But Halacha Maaseh, what he sees from this episode is that the person who goes ahead and washes my machronim first, is one ultimately who leads Birkas HaMazon. All right, we'll say we'll stop over here. Daf Yomi over Rosh Hashanah is 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, both days of Yom Tov. Here, not in the morning. No. How far we want to go? That sounds like a Daf Yomi suicide mission. I'd be going at it alone. So we'll be learning here. We'll be learning here in the Beis Medrash at 5 o'clock. We'll go until about 5:45. There'll be a Sefer Yonah Shir afterwards. First 2 days of Yom Tov. Mosai, take this opportunity to wish all of you a Ksiva v'chasima tova. I just want to really express hakar satov to all of you. You have all really been moser nefesh over the last Baruch Hashem 46 days. That it's amazing to think, we've been doing this 46 days straight. We have not missed a day, Baruch Hashem. And halavai, just the amelos and the mesiras nefesh, especially over the last couple of days of slichos, when we've had to, we all know that although it doesn't matter, there's a big difference between 5:40 and 5:45. There was a world of difference between 5:40 and 5:45 at that hour of the morning. And for those who come to the later shir as well. And just, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should go into the Yemei HaDin with the Mesiras Nefesh, with the beautiful Talmud Torah that we've learned. And I want to also take the opportunity, but I want to thank Ari, just in front of the shir, because Rabosai, again, Ari was really instrumental in organizing the shir, is instrumental in organizing the shir. Baruch Hashem, instrumental in beautifying our Beis Medrash, along with David and many others. Baruch Hashem. And halavai, we should just take the zechus of the beautiful Talmud Torah. How we have to say every single day, Ashreinu Matov Chalkinu. No matter how tired we are, what a zechus it is to be able to learn beautiful Maseches Brachos. And halavai, we should take each daf with us, and each daf should be put in the scale of our zechuyos. And even if we need an extra daf, maybe we should learn a little bit ahead, right? So that way, near so we can tip the scales a little bit more. But halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just inscribe each of us and our families for a ksiva chasima tova, and should give us the zchus to learn together in the coming year and the many years together until we, emir Hashem, finish us, but not here, even in this beautiful Beis Medrash in Baltimore. Halavai, this should be the year of Geula. We should be able to continue our Talmud Torah, our journey through Shas, in a rebuilt Yerushalayim, rebuilt Beis HaMikdash with the Melech HaMashiach, and here Rabbi Aminu.
Amen. But if we do it in these little places, how are you going to do coffee for everybody?
Let me get you.
But even here he says, Yochel Lachusa. You know, it's interesting. I don't know why.